Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
The brave new world of private credit is going to fracture. For just one example of what lies ahead, listen to this. Renovo Home Partners, a large home improvement company that was funded by private equity, abruptly closed its doors and filed for Chapter 7 in early November. The company's default on its private credit lines resulted in BlackRock, which is one of its primary private lenders, to write down the full $150 million value of its debt. Now, BlackRock valued these loans that it made to Renovo at 100 cents on the dollar. 100, not 99. 100 cents on the dollar just a few weeks before the company filed for bankruptcy. However, it quickly had to write down its assets to the market's true valuation, which is zero, from 100 cents to zero. Now, Renovo's total liabilities are projected to be as high as $500 million. The entire private credit market was just $200 billion pre-global financial crisis. However, it is now estimated to be $1.7 trillion. This is just one example of the massive credit bubble that exists in both the public and private sectors of the economy. So let's turn to some economic news. Despite the Fed's latest rate cutting cycle, the average 30-year fixed mortgage rate has risen for three consecutive weeks, reaching 6.26 as of November 20th, 2025. That's according to Freddie Mac. The ADP payroll report says that the U.S. economy has lost an average of 13,500 jobs per week in the past 4 weeks. This is an acceleration of the decline in the labor market from the 2,500 per week loss of jobs on average in the previous week's report. And their November private sector report, employment, showed that the economy lost 32,000 jobs. In fact, the economy has lost jobs in four of the last 6 months, according to ADP. The weak labor market is just one factor leading to the decline in consumer sentiment. The Conference Board's Consumer Confidence Index for November fell to 88.7. That's 88.7 versus the 93.3 estimate. Confidence fell 6.8 points from October to the lowest reading since April's Liberation Day tariff crisis. The November ISM Manufacturing Index fell further into contraction to 48.2 versus 48.7 last month. The prices paid component rose to 58.5 versus 58 in October. Meanwhile, on the other side of the ledger, the headline services PMI hit a nine-month high of 52.6. However, the new orders index dropped sharply to 52.9 from the prior month's reading of 56.2. Hence, despite an overall anemic economy, still not in a recession, but an anemic economy, inflation is still a bit of an issue, for sure. So let's talk about portfolio construction. The inflation-deflation economic cycle strategy is not binary. We are not always all bullish or all bearish. And the transition between the five sectors that range between inflation and deflation are usually incremental in nature. Having said this, I want to explain why we, Penta Portfolio Strategies, has become somewhat less bullish over the past few weeks. Not net short, not panicking, just less bullish over the past few weeks. Again, we're not outright short the market yet. Prepared to do it for sure, but we're not net short at all. We're net long by about 15%. We're just reducing exposure from the extremely high beta positions. Since we are not in an overall recession, even though the bottom four quintiles of consumers have been in one for a few years, the primary cause of the latest round of stock market turmoil would then have to come from the chaos in the bond market, and that's exactly where it's coming from. Therefore, we must and we always monitor financial conditions, credit spreads, and the MOVE index for signs of an impending credit crisis. Well, financial conditions have stopped easing. credit spreads have started to widen and the MOVE index started rising, even though this bond market volatility metric is highly volatile and has come down recently. I then took a look to see why these critical conditions are occurring, to see if the signal is substantiated. Are there reasons, in other words, are there reasons why the bond market liquidity is drying up? And the answer is yes. And I'll give you a few of them. The yen carry trade is disappearing. I've talked about this before many weeks ago, and I'm going to bring it up again. The yen carry trade is disappearing. And the estimates for the size of this trade are anywhere between $4 and $20 trillion. The spread between the yen and the U.S. 10-year, the spread between the Japanese government bond yield, the 10-year note yield, and the U.S. bond yield was 400 basis points in 2023. There's a lot of wiggle room there in the yen carry trade. It's now just above 200 basis points, so it's been cut in half. The reverse repo facility is effectively zero, down from $2.5 trillion in 2022. This is the excess liquidity, the excess reserves that the banks held. It's now, for all intents and purposes, zero. Bank reserves, meanwhile, have been reduced by $1.2 trillion since 2021. And the level of the real Fed funds rate has been in positive territory for the past 2.5 years, which has recently been an extremely dangerous condition. It was negative for most of the time since 2001. Now, in addition to all this, there are cracks developing in the AI bubble. For example, Oracle credit default swaps spreads are rising sharply to the highest level since 2009. Now, let me just review briefly what that is, credit default swaps. They're basically insurance contracts made to bet if the company is going to default. And CDS spreads are also rising to a lesser extent for Microsoft, Amazon, Meta, and Alphabet, but they're still rising. Therefore, we have cause to become more defensive with our allocations for now. Of course, the Fed could plug this liquidity drain by cutting rates on December 9th and indicating many more are on the way. It could also start expanding its balance sheet aggressively. The appointment of Kevin Hassett to the Fed in May will almost surely lead to a more dovish Fed. That is, if the Trump haters at the Fed don't decide to protest the appointment and vote for a more hawkish stance as an offset. But there's a lot of room between now and May. In my view, the Fed must cut rates quickly and aggressively to prevent markets from falling. Waiting for regime change in May may be too late to save the market from a steep decline. A decline that is both necessary and healthy for the market in the longer term. I'm not saying that the Fed doesn't have a reason to cut rates because of the weak labor market and because of bond market bond market chaos. I'm saying that they should let that happen. I mean, you just can't keep inflating in perpetuity and bankrupting the nation and causing an existential crisis in the United States. That's not an excuse. You have to let this, you have to let recessions happen. You have to let bear markets occur. That's the nature of markets. And the irony here is that even if the Fed were to provide a huge dose of monetary stimulus, it may only temporarily offer markets a reprieve. This is because lowering the Fed funds rate, the very shortest of interest rates, should and could cause rates on the long end of the yield curve to rise. That's what's happened in the past, putting more stress on the real estate market, corporate financing costs, and making the already massively overstretched valuations in the market less palatable. Active and smart management that rides these bubbles higher, but with a model that seeks to protect and profit from their demise, is and always will be the most prudent way to invest. And that is exactly what we do here at Pento Portfolio Strategies.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast, No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.